Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Hero MotoCorp's Q2 FY 2019 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishant Vass from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Rayo. Good day, everyone, and thanks for joining us today for this earnings call. From the management side, we are represented by Mr. Niranjan Gupta, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sanjay Bhan, Head of Sales and After Sales, Mr. Surinder Chhabra, Vice President Corporate Finance, and Mr. Umang Khurana, Head Investor Relations. Now, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their initial remarks. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Hi. Welcome to this Hero MotoCorp's earnings call. You would have seen the results which we just published. The key points there are our volumes have grown by 5.5% for the quarter. Within that, market share for dealer segment has improved year-on-year, and overall market share in the motorcycles have been maintained. Our revenue has grown 8.6%, and within this, parts business has grown 24%. EBITDA margin is at  15.2%, while dropping sequentially 40 basis points, but displays the resilience of our portfolio and also our ability to navigate through cost and other headwinds, given our strong brands and the portfolio. Our profit after tax at 976 crores is up compared to 909 crores of quarter one sequentially. So with this, we open the call for questions.
Sure. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. A couple of questions. Firstly, on demand side, there have been some cost increases because of insurance. So just wanted to check, in light of that, does your full-year industry growth outlook of double-digit remain intact? Also, if you can share some color on festive demand for first few days, how does it compare on a YoY basis or like-to-like period growth? Second question is on the other expenditure. We have seen a significant increase on a QoQ basis, so some color on what exactly has happened there and how do you expect to shape up?
So let me start this and then hand it over to Sanjay. On other expenses, you should look at on a half-yearly basis and not on quarter-on-quarter basis, because in quarter one call also, we had said that when you had asked, the expenses are lower, and we had talked about the phasing. So as you see in quarter two, the expenditures are phased higher, and therefore, if you look at on a half-year basis, there is not so much of a difference as far as percentage to revenue is concerned. On the demand side and all that sort of stuff, let me hand it over to Sanjay to answer that.
Yeah. Thanks, Kapil. Yes, I guess we all know about what's happening right now. There has been this impact from insurance side. It softened the demand a little, but I think specific to your question in terms of whether our annual outlook will stand change, etc., no, I don't think we'll take a short-term view of these things. Clearly, there are these kind of hiccups and setbacks that happen every once in a while. So I guess as leaders, we need to also understand that the context of these setbacks is more temporary in nature than permanent. So we do see while there's a bit of softening on demand side, it's more flattish than growth at this stage, but we do expect things to turn around and move forward. And we are expecting, like we've said earlier, still hopeful for an 8%-10% growth in the festive season.
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to inform participants that in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Raghunandan from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand that firstly, on the cost side, commodity inflation, adverse currency, and also increasing competition. So is there any, have we been limited in terms of our ability to take price hikes? And just wanted to understand, in the coming quarter, what kind of margin impact is expected? That is first question. Secondly, sir, on the working capital side, there has been an increase in debtor days, and so just wanted to know your thoughts. Is it mainly because of the festive season?
Right. Thanks for the question. So as far as the cost and currency commodities, there's a lot of questions loaded into one. What I would like to answer is, first of all, no one can forecast what the commodity will be or currency will be tomorrow. We've been maintaining that. What we need to see is that as far as the past is concerned, the last two quarters, as we've seen, costs have been going up. We've been managing it judiciously through various things. We've been taking price increases as appropriate. Plus, we've also been doing our savings program. And we've been growing volume in order to get operating leverage as well. So these are the ways in which we have been navigating our margins. And therefore, that's the way that we see us also moving forward. Whatever price increases we have been taking, those are being absorbed in the market. But obviously, we do a very sensible increases from time to time. And so that's what I would say on the margin part. Can't give a short-term outlook on what will happen to margin, etc., etc. Our long-term guidelines still remain that our decisions are guided by the tramline of 14 to 16% margin. And that helps us in terms of navigating through a profitable growth for our decision. As far as working capital is concerned, it is seasonal. You are absolutely right. Because as the stocks move up in the festive season ahead of the demand, therefore we need to finance a bit, and therefore the debtors days go up. And that essentially is just a seasonal thing and not any underlying change in our working capital nature.
So just a clarification, sir, based on the commodity and currency movement last 2-3 months, do you think that whatever price hikes has been taken is enough to absorb it, or would more be required in the next 2-3 months? I mean, in the sense, would you be taking more price hikes, say, in January?
All the price hikes will depend on how the commodities pan out in the future. You've already seen the price hike that we took in October, first week. And basically, it's been with a lag of a quarter. But with a lag of the quarter, we've been able to cover our cost increases. Moving forward, depending on how the commodities pan out, we'll have to take decisions accordingly.
Thanks. Thanks for that explanation, sir. That was very helpful. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ashish Nigam from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
A couple of questions on the financing side. If you can just remind us again, what percentage of our volumes are financed, and within that, how much by NBFCs, how much by Hero FinCorp, etc.?
I'll ask Mr. Chhabra to answer the question.
Yeah, all of the financing support in the market for Hero FinCorp is 36.5%. Out of which 11% is from Hero FinCorp Limited.
Sorry, I missed the first number. What percentage is financed?
36.5%.
36.5, okay.
Overall, financing for Hero FinCorp. And 11% from Hero FinCorp.
Okay. And the remaining also are mainly NBFCs?
Yes.
So, NBFCs have been talking a lot about the margin pressures and liquidity issues. Are we seeing that on the ground? Is that led to any softness in demand?
So, on the NBFC part of it, if your question is related to Hero FinCorp or question related to their ability to finance two-wheelers?
The ability to finance two-wheelers, NBFCs beside Hero FinCorp?
No. We've not seen any impact on that in terms of financing penetration.
Okay. And in light of this, what is the plan now for Hero FinCorp? We are at 41% stake now. That with this 250 crore investment, how has that changed?
No, this was a rights issue. So therefore, everyone subscribed in an equal measure. Our stake has just mathematically gone up by 10 basis points, so which is not meaningful in any way because everyone subscribed. So the stake broadly remains the same.
And the plans of this 11% of our sales being Hero FinCorp, is there any plan, you know, 3 years out or something that you can share?
No, it's difficult to give a forecast on that. All we can say is that Hero FinCorp continues to grow, not just from two-wheeler, but also overall as a company in terms of their loan book size. And also while the NBFCs are impacted, as you yourself mentioned, on liquidity, etc., Hero FinCorp has been served well because of its rights issue. So they have enough liquidity to fund their growth as of now.
Got it. Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karthik Chilappa from Buena Vista Fund Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on our medium-term...
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Karthik, but we can barely hear you. Could you please speak a little louder?
Sure. Is this better?
Yeah.
Okay. So my first question is on our medium-term capacity expansion plan. So as I understand it, with the Andhra plant coming online, the first phase sometime, let's say, towards the end of 2019, our capacity goes up to almost about 11 million units. Given that the industry itself is set to see two important events, one is the ABS-CBS coming up in 2019 and the BS6 in 2020, are there any plan to either push back those capex in view of how the demand will play out beyond FY19?
So first of all, as Sanjay pointed out, we still see demand growing at 8 to 10%. Right? Because the macro fundamentals of Indian economy in general and two-wheelers of auto sector in particular still remain intact, right? It is for the players like us and others to navigate through these headwinds appropriately. So that's one. Second thing is in terms of therefore the capacity expansion also displays our confidence in our demand projection. Third thing is with Andhra, the capacity doesn't go up to 11 plus. It actually goes to 10 plus by end of next year. Although both these plants, which is Andhra and Gujarat, if need be, can be scaled up to actually move to 11. So therefore, that's the plan and we feel that the plan is a very balanced plan in terms of the capacity expansion and we don't see any need to push out the capex. And the other thing is that the underlying penetration levels, when we talked about the demand, so those are the stories, you know, you talk about the MSP increase, more income with the farmers. You talk about underlying growth of Indian economy at 7% plus still. You talk about consumer credit, financing opportunity. You talk about under-penetration. So all those are macro stories and they all remain intact despite whatever the short-term headwinds could be. So in nutshell, we still have confidence in the demand growth and therefore the capacity expansion will continue. So we're not going to push back any of the capex.
Perfect. So my second question is, earlier you had mentioned that at this point of time, you're not feeling any pressure from any of the NBFCs who are actually financing two-wheelers. But in case, let's say over the next month or so, if any of your main NBFCs experience any issues, would you have like a plan B so that you don't lose out on the festive sales or festive demand?
We don't see that at all. If at all the financing percentages, we expect it to only go up. If you study the NBFC problem that is there, it will be with a large corporate loan rather than the smaller consumer loan. So it's more about their asset liability mismatch where they have the short-term financing which they've done, borrowing, and they've done a long-term what you call lending. Now, these are not long-term lending. These are just 24 months of EMI that they work with. The NBFC problem is of 5-year, 7-year, 10-year lending with a 1-year and 2-year borrowing. So this is a margin creating segment for them and a segment where they just need to finance for 2 years. And we've even seen the percentages actually moving up. So we actually don't foresee any problem, not even in the festive season, but even for the medium term.
So your new launch pipeline also would remain unaltered?
Absolutely unaltered.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from Ruchit Mehta from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead. Ruchit Mehta from SBI Mutual Fund, you may go ahead with your question. Your line is on top.
Yeah, thanks. So you said that you still have 8 to 10% full year volume growth guidance or an outlook. But just to better understand that, if, as you said, that there has been some flatness in demand per se, and if the festive seasons continue to see that, do you think that you would look at more of incentives, whether they be discounts or whether they be promotions or schemes, etc., to sort of try and push to the volumes? Or would you just let market forces determine how volumes really play out?
We will see how it plays out. And obviously, as key leaders and key players in the market, we, as I said, we'll keep balancing and keep watching this space closely. Sanjay, would you like to add anything on this space?
Yeah, Richard, thanks for the question. I think it's an interesting question, which also opens up a little bit of a window for us to explain to you exactly what's playing out in the market. Now, this whole insurance thing obviously has created a bit of dampness. Like I said, it's the first few days have been, because the question then was very specific, the first few days have been flattish. And I think most of it is owed to the kind of, you know, setback or some sort of shock, that preliminary shock that increased insurance did lead to. Now, what I also mentioned, that we'll continue to grow at a steady 8 to, you know, still expect that 8 to 10% growth in the festive season. So we do not see a flattish festive season. We do see an improved, you know, festive season from here on. The issue on whether that will stay fest, you know, flat doesn't arise, because we are reasonably confident that things will turn around. Therefore, obviously, over the last 2-3 days, we've seen some clear improvement in terms of people walking in. The whole piece of this insurance being absorbed is also very important. For instance, the way we've tackled it, and I'm sure that's the way most people are tackling it, it's also, you know, kind of reflecting in the financing that is happening. Obviously, there's been a slight improvement in the contribution of finance over the last 5-6 days. You know, the net impact of the insurance increase to an EMI, 24-month EMI, is about 200 odd rupees on a 45,000 ticket size. So that's what it is. So therefore, it's been taken care of adequately. And we do expect to restore the confidence back in the market. The fundamental, you know, macroeconomic drivers are very, very robust. And that's what all of us must understand. And we recognize that, and we do believe that there will be a significant improvement as we get into the season, in the middle of the season. So there you are. I think we should have a good, decent season. I think the momentum will continue from there on.
And just to add to what Sanjay said, some part of these early days of the first 5 weeks is also because of confusion. So one is the amount of the insurance and that we are talking about. The other is clarity in the market, because the insurance first came, it was 5 years accidental, then we represented, then it moved back to 1 year. And therefore, all this clarity around customers, like, okay, has it settled or is there more to happen there in that field, etc. As the communication is going out, people are becoming clearer. And that's why the confidence is that we are just first 5-6 days, there's still 25-26 days of the festive to go. And as it's becoming more and more clear, the customers have started working.
Okay. And if you could just give us some update on the scooter portfolio, particularly with regards to the 125cc products, that would be helpful.
Sorry, what? Yeah, scooter portfolio. We've talked about two of our 125ccs getting launched. This is the season, yes, of course. What we are doing is we'll see them shortly in the market. We obviously will be launching one after the other to space them out so that there is enough room and space in the market for consumers to actually experience both. Both are as per schedule, and like we mentioned earlier, there is a lot of resident excitement in the 125cc segment. As you know, the scooter market as it is not been growing very well. But within that, in fact, the growth in the 125cc sub-segment of the scooters is 77% for the first half. So we are getting into the segment which is perhaps is driving whatever is happening in scooters. the interaction is there, so we're getting there. So, and the launches are as per plan.
Okay, so there's been no delay on the launch, because I thought, my understanding was this would have been launched by the now Navaratri festival would have kicked in.
Like
so
said, last time around, it will be alongside or around the festive time. So it may not necessarily have been before the Dashera or whatever, but we are getting into a situation where we probably will be launching them in a phased manner over a period of 15-20 days, starting maybe Monday, Tuesday.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aditya Mathuria from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
So, if you could give some color on the Xtreme, how is the 200cc bike? So, how are we launching it? How nationwide? And what's the response to it? And secondly, just some color on the other income being higher this quarter.
So, I'll take the question on other income first, and then thereafter pass it on to Sanjay to explain on the Xtreme. As far as other income is concerned, it's higher as you've seen. Other income comprises of also income from interest on dealers. It is on our investment portfolio. Plus, it also has interest on various deposits and also interest on the income tax deposit. So this quarter has had a couple of assessments which got cleared, and therefore the deposit interest on deposits from income tax also came in, and which led to actually a part of the rise is also attributed to that. Sanjay, on the Xtreme.
Yeah, on the Xtreme, I think we are extremely, right now, quite excited about the way it's been received by consumers. We've kind of sold about 6,000 thus far. I think in a short period, we've gone national now. So the most important part is that the overall acceptance of the format, the overall acceptance of the brand, the overall communication, and the positioning of Xtreme, I think that's all coming into the right place. It's now about time when the consumers will start, the inquiries or the excitement will convert themselves into sales. So we're quite hopeful and we're very excited about the prospects of Xtreme. Like we said last time, it's not just going to be left to one model in the segment to do the job. It will have a lot of brothers and sisters coming along shortly. And we do expect over the next 3 to 4 months, the entire premium segment portfolio for us will look perhaps the smartest of them all, as we would like to put it. So I think the whole excitement is coming back into the game, and the fact that Xtreme had a very difficult job to do, which was virtually relaunch Hero MotoCorp into the premium segment. I think it's doing it very ably. You will see some more action happening very soon.
Sure. And lastly, sir, with Bajaj, launching that 555 offer, I don't know what festive scheme they are. How are we reading that, and are we reacting in any way?
We said that before as well. We choose not to respond to what competition does. I think I'm sure that they must have thought through whatever they're planning to do, and I expect that whatever the scheme is, will do well for them. We can only wish them good luck. But beyond that, I really can't say much. Like I said, the overall mood during the festivities in the first few days, because I was responding to a question earlier, has been pretty lukewarm. It's been flattish at best. And we've seen that trend right across all competition. Anything doing slightly better than others. So one wouldn't be able to really comment on any specific scheme, whether for, competition or somebody else.
And by the way, just to add, out of the 3 fives, while not commenting specifically on any competition, but we have 2 fives permanently, which is 5 free service and 5-year warranty. So there's only 1 5 probably you can talk about. Right.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from S. Natraj from Quantum Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. In a scenario of petrol being close to 90 rupees and Hero being known for its fuel efficiency and village shutted forget it mindset of consumers, are you recalibrating your product launch in this backdrop of higher oil prices? So is there reflection of thought process on launching premium products and stuff like that? Is there going to be some rethinking on that? Thank you. That's one. And second, on the export side, compared to our aspirations, we know that we're running behind, but there is some catch-up being done because of the market. What do you see over the next couple of years, your aspirations on the export side? Thank you.
Right. So on the first part, which is petrol leading to deferral of premium or the vehicles which are less fuel efficient. Actually, if you look at it, I mean, the overall fuel consumption in a month probably on a motorcycle would be maybe 1,000, 1,500 or even 2,000 if you have to go to a premium sort of stuff. And if you take even a 10% increase in petrol, that is of 100 rupees, 150 or 200 rupees in a month. Really speaking, that's not a lot when you take a monthly expenditure level. So first of all, we don't see that impacting demand or that should impact our launches in any which way. So we will be proceeding with the launches in any case. As far as the exports is concerned, this quarter, the exports growth has been good. Having said that, we will continue to scale up in the relevant markets of export. Bangladesh is doing well for us. Equally, there's a Central American cluster which has done well for us. And the growth of quarter two in exports has been close to around 25-26%. So I think, but it's a build, which is a slow build, but slowly and steadily we are building up as far as our export business is concerned.
Okay, and just to follow up on that export part, you know, can you just share the Bangladesh year-to-date volume, if it is possible?
We don't share market-wise volumes, but you can take it offline with Umang separately.
Okay.
If you have to.
And the effective tax rate guidance for the longer term?
Sorry?
The tax rate guidance for the long term?
No, we don't give tax rate guidance for the long term, I would say that by and large, you know, there was a big impact of the Haridwar fiscal expiry, and that is already built into our tax rate. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And just to add to it, Nataraj, on the lighter side, given the fact that we are virtually not present in the premium segment, I think that should be something of concern, if at all, to most of the players who are pretty well entrenched there. For us, it's a win-win game because we just have to keep launching our new model and get some market share. I think that's where that's how we should see it.
Okay.
Beyond that, really, fuel prices and the impact it has across various customer segments, I think premium consumers generally aren't as influenced by such things because they obviously are a little more agnostic to such changes. Now, what impacts is clearly other segments. And if anything, we've seen historically, I think you started your question with that. Whenever there is a price increase in fuel, one of the biggest beneficiaries is companies like Hero because of our lineage on mileage and our capabilities to deliver extremely high levels for customers, we've always benefited from such issues. So we do see that as a positive thing in any case.
So on the demand side, we don't see any adverse, if at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Wish you all the best. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Hitesh Goel from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you just share some demand patterns across north, west, south regions of India? Because I think UP was a big growth market for you guys, UP, MP, Rajasthan, and you know Bihar as well. Can you just give us some sense of market-wise or region-wise demand trends?
We don't give geography-wise or region-wise demand trend, but overall basis, let me ask Sanjay.
Yeah, I think it's the way you need to look at it is very simple. For markets which are under-penetrated, the growth will continue to be very robust, both in the short-term, medium-term, and in the long-term. And I guess the names of markets that you took are highly under-penetrated. So these markets will continue to keep rocking, I think. And we are extremely strong in these markets and continue to strengthen ourselves even further. So to that extent, markets which are far more evolved and have higher level of penetration, the growth rates will always be, obviously, comparatively, relatively speaking, will be much lower. So yes, you're right. I think you've answered your own question.
Okay, sir. And sir, just a follow-up on this. Sir, basically, we heard that there are a lot of companies which are coming in the electric bike segment, especially in UP. I was surprised to hear that a place called Azamgarh also has five companies which have launched electric two-wheelers there. Any plans from Hero to launch its own product in electric? Because it may surprise companies in a big way in the coming 12 months, in my view.
Right. So first of all, look, EV is not going to be a short-term story. EV is going to be a medium to long-term story. Second thing is, we are ensuring we will not get surprised. And that's why we have a twin strategy, which is one, We've invested in startup called Ather. You would have seen they've launched scooters in Bangalore. We have 30% stake in that. The other is our own R&D center is also working on it. So rest assured, we won't be surprised on it. We are working on it. But equally, it's not an overnight or a 12-month story. It's going to be a medium to long-term story because a lot of stuff on EV needs to be sorted out, both from the private side, government side, infra side, customer side, convenience side, design side, before really EV can take off.
Okay. And so finally, can you give me dealer inventory on an overall level right now?
No, so we don't give specific inventory wise, but suffice it to say that we run on 4 to 6 weeks of forward demand.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Jatin Chawla from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. The first question is on, could you quantify the import exposure that you have on both the direct and the indirect side? By indirect, I mean things that your vendors might be importing. And when does that kind of hit your P&L? Is it with a lag of a quarter or a couple of quarters?
Yeah, so we don't give out any specific numbers on that. As far as direct is concerned, it is a small exposure because our exports and imports put together is a natural hedge. And then whatever is the rest of the quantum which remains exposed, that we cover on a quarter-to-quarter basis. So that's effectively how we navigate as far as our currency is concerned.
I think on one of the earlier calls you had called out that the indirect exposure was somewhere in the double digits. Just wanted to clarify, is it still as high or have you done something to bring it down over the last couple of years?
What is double digits meaning?
The indirect exposure used to be more than 10% at least 2-3 years back. Has the company taken any steps to bring that down over the last 2-3 years or is it still
10% of the cost you are saying?
Of the cost, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no. There is no bringing down that because that also depends on not just currency, but you have to look at the overall benefit of the landed cost from import, from these things vis-a-vis local supply. And really speaking, in case of currency, it's not wise, at least what we see, is to take a call on currency. And if you keep switching currencies from one part to the other, and try to actually reduce exposures or try to do only based on currency, that doesn't work. And therefore, what we do is basically we do on a quarterly basis the hedging as far as our exposure is concerned. But there's no effort to bring down any kind of direct or indirect exposure purely based on currency.
And could you quantify the total price hikes that you've taken so far this financial year, cumulative?
So we've been talking about price hikes every quarter, so I can't remember all the numbers, but you can pick up from the previous calls. But this time also we took price hike on the ex-showroom basis of around 600 to 700 rupees. I think that's what we talked about. We had taken around 200 odd in the previous quarter and another 300 odd in the 300, 400 odd in the from the 1st April. So you can pick up from the previous calls, but those have been the order of price hikes that we've been taking.
So October was about 600 to 700 rupees.
Yeah.
And you mentioned some one-off element on the other income side. Possible to quantify that?
No, it's not possible to quantify. So there are very different elements into that. And therefore, we won't be able to quantify exactly the one-off elements. It does happen. Those interest on income tax deposits do come in several quarters. So it's not just also one-off. It's one-off in this quarter. It also was there in, I think, Q3, Q4 or one of the quarters. That and when the assessments keep getting completed, the amounts accrue and that's what we do.
Sure. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramod Amte from CGS-CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Wanted to check... do you see any, in terms of the demand or the sales momentum for the industry, how has been rural versus urban? And in terms of the slowdown which you talked, is there any distinct pattern between the rural and urban again?
Okay. I think what we've seen thus far, I think it's been a fairly consistent thing. Yeah, you could say that rural is a little stronger and you know, as opposed to the urban thing, but it's just about marginally better. But what we do expect is that going forward, given the MSP you know, kind of scenario that we are getting into now, there is a clear feel that we are getting from the upcountry networks and markets that things in rural will start looking northwards even better. So that just gives us that extra, you know, confidence that things will start getting even better in rural, you know, going forward. So to that extent, right now what is visible is almost a similar situation both. Slightly better in rural, but I think from here on, things could get even stronger in rural.
Also, let me just add on, you mentioned the tech slowdown. We've not said slowdown. We're talking about the first 5-6 days of festive. We're talking about the long-term macroeconomic fundamentals remaining strong. We're talking about even the short-term fundamentals remaining strong, which is the MSP, which is all the sort of stuff that's happening, the quarterly economic growth, all that sort of stuff. So 6 days of festive, really speaking, calling that a slowdown, we don't quite agree. I think we, as we said, we still believe that 8-10% growth, underlying growth momentum is possible.
Sure. Thanks for that clarification. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Pranav Tendulkar from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask how many of your dealerships are you categorizing as winners, average performers, and below average performers? That is one. And to improve that, how frequently are you doing some initiatives like mystery shopping, etc., to assess their performance, and what are the solutions that you provide for dealerships to improve their performance?
Yeah, so Pranav, I think first of all, it will be, I don't think it will be fair on our part to share the exact number of dealers not pulling their weight. But yes, I think the question is very relevant to understand as to what is the company thinking on, how do we really try and bring them around and, you know, improve their performance. So we have an internal system, just to share, which is called the MyScore. We track that on a regular basis. It's a balanced scorecard-based system, where in performance across all parameters, sales, service reporting, service satisfaction, parts, business, and all allied areas are factored in, including any customer complaints or any challenges around that. And that gives us a residual score for each dealer. And the bottom 5 percentile of all dealers are specially put into a dealership improvement plan, for which there are various trainings, etc. There are various interventions that are done from time to time. So, and you know, the intent therefore is to improve them. We are an extremely dealer-friendly company, but we have tried to ensure that performance doesn't come in the way, and therefore we make sure that we are able to pull through most of these dealers. And wherever there is a need, we always look at options of letting such dealers go if there has been a case like that in the past.
Right. So I have myself have done some research on the ground, and the Hero MotoCorp is actually very well known for low cost of ownership, total cost of ownership, not just the, you know, initial discounts, right?
Right.
And this communication is not as effectively coming out in city dealerships. That's what my observation was. Maybe my sample was very low, as it is clear to rural dealers. Are you doing anything to push this impression? Because these guys are the first and most authentic communicators of your product, right?
Yeah. So I understood your
something
question,
like that.
So just to kind of understand your question, you're saying that our rural dealers are more aware of this as opposed to the larger dealers? That's a question?
No. So it might be also coming out because of the dealer's experience that urban, you know, buyers might be actually concerned about not total cost of ownership, but some different things. I'm not clear about that, but rural dealers are quite clear about it, that your total cost of ownership will be very low in Hero as compared to, say, Bajaj or any other competitor.
That's right. I think there has been a jury out for a long, long time, and I think we always end up this in these kind of chats where people end up thinking that rural customers are not probably as brand savvy as they're cost conscious. as opposed to the urban customers. But like I said, the jury is still out. I personally believe that rural customers are strongly brand oriented as an urban counterpart. I don't think there's any gap in that. And that's why, you know, you see the best of products are actually getting consumed in the rural market. So the whole point is that perhaps there is a very clear driver, which is about total cost of ownership, which needs to be articulated adequately in certain areas, which is a little more sharper in those, maybe defined by your own sampling, like you said, your limited sample size. Maybe in that sample, it turned out that the smaller dealers were a little more sharply talking about this thing. And that's whatever is the sales pitch eventually is also a function of what the customer really wants to know more about. Isn't that right? So in such markets where if your sample has been skewed, therefore you would not have been able to pick those markets where customers are actually concerned about total cost of ownership being as the core reason. But in terms of our pitch to all our dealers and the communication, we are very clear. First of all, I don't quite agree with the initial discounts. There are no discounts. Hero doesn't offer products on discounts. So we're very clear about focusing, and that's been our pitch for a very, very long time, because most other manufacturers are available at a discount versus every single product that we have in the category. And therefore, if we have to fight against that, and more recently, in the last call, I remember there was a whole bunch of talk about a certain competition and a certain amount of discount, which was going into, you know, maybe 8,000 plus kind of a discount. We didn't, of course, today I'm surprised there's no question on that. But that's the reality. In market, there are competition which are offering at significant discounts upfront. We're still operating in very successfully so. So our pitch has always been not about the initial cost alone. It's been about the total experience and the total cost of ownership across dealerships, across city types, across customer demographics. So maybe the sampling is one way I can look at the sample probably having been a little skewed. Could be the reason that you have not picked it up.
And having said that, I think we are happy that you are picking up this as a core thing, which we also communicate. And you could always look at enhancing
it. Yes, I mean, if you can share with us those samples, maybe,
yeah,
maybe we'll need to do
a lot of that. And also the market sometimes is also, we move towards rather than from just total cost of ownership to total value of ownership, which then includes the brand and the price and everything. All right?
Right, right. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. I think probably I will take it offline.
Sure. Absolutely.
And dwell more into it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramod Kumar from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity. I just want a first clarification on the spare parts comment what Niranjan made at the start of the call. Did I hear it right that spare parts growth was around 24% revenue growth this quarter?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Quarter two.
So that would put it in the number of over 700 crores, right, for the quarter?
713 crores to be precise. I can give you the numbers as well.
Oh. Thanks a lot, Niranjan, for that. And my question pertains to the second half outlook on marketing expenditure. Given that you guys are having some amazing launches on the scooter and the premium motorcycle side, is that probably fair to expect that with the festive retail marketing as well in terms of branding and the launch expenses, the marketing intensity will be much more higher in the second half versus the first half?
Well, it could go up. Overall, you know, we've always been around 2.5 to 3% in terms of our ad and publicity expenditure. And we keep managing within that framework. And we do see us managing within that framework even moving forward. But yeah, second half could be higher than first half.
Historically, it has been like that. The second half does see some action, particularly if your Diwali Dashera falls in the second half, which is the case this year. Last year, of course, Dashera was in the first half. There are a lot of expenses, but split a little there. But I guess that's traditionally the way the entire auto segment and particularly two-wheelers, a lot of spending in the second half.
Sounds good. And second question is on the aspirations on the both the scooter and the premium motorcycle. As you can see, the data on scooter market share, we've been kind of having a 5-month straight decline in scooter dispatches. I guess you're probably setting the ground with very low inventory of the existing models when the new models come in, which is understandable. But how would you see the market share journey for Hero from here on for the next 2 years? As to, is there any aspirational numbers? Because in the past, you shared numbers which haven't exactly materialized because 100cc segment is not exactly doing well. But as you enter the fast growing 125cc segment, is there a number which you would put as to where would you like to have your market share back? Like we've done been 20, 15 and all, now we are closer to 11. So is there a number there? And similarly for premium motorcycle, we used to be 12% plus in FY13. We are down to 1.3%. So is it, what kind of a comeback are we looking at in both the categories?
So I'll first start with just a minute on this and then I hand it over to Sanjay for your answer. But we don't give out a market share ambition number on any of our portfolio because it's important to do the right thing and then the market share will come along. Obviously, in any segment that we would play to win, yeah, and to get a fair market share. As far as scooter is concerned, you've already talked about 125cc launches and that will be endeavor. Premium would be building portfolio over 3 to 5 years and then get to a meaningful market share. What that would be, we wanted to quantify. Let me hand it over to Sanjay to talk more about the scooter and the premium.
So, Pramod, I think there's a very simple answer to your question. I think our growth or our aspiration in both these segments is going to be a function of the launches that we are going to be having in these segments. And as you already perhaps know, that both these segments have started for some very major action and something that is going to happen very soon, shortly, on scooters, followed by some more action in the premium segment. So I guess it's also very important to understand that, you know, first of all, it's not been a tanking story for us in scooters. We have actually improved our market share between quarter one and quarter two. From 12.6, we've gone to 12.9, which is not a bad situation in a market anyways, which has been having a lot of turmoil. If you would have noticed, you know, that scooters have not been doing as well as they have been doing historically. It's just a segment that we are not operating in within scooters, that we're not present, so we can't really count that in. But we are getting there, and that's the market that is really having a fantastic growth, and hopefully that should trigger and supplement our efforts to improve market share. Like Niranjan mentioned, we do not, you know, kind of give an outlook on the proposed market share, but I guess you know how he operates, and I'm sure our ambitions are pretty, pretty high and pretty much in the zone and expectation that you have. So hopefully over the next 2 to 3 years, in the medium term, we will be certainly well poised to be hitting those numbers.
Also,
both on premium as well as the scooters. Yeah, sorry.
Also, just to add, I mean, let's look at the brighter side, Pramod, that within a space of 6 months, you are going to see 3 launches. Yeah, one Xtreme 200, which is happening in premium, the two 125cc, which is going to come. Probably in the last many quarters, you would not have seen this kind of 3 launches of new products coming in 6 months. We are building a good platform from here on.
Excellent. Great to hear that and best of luck for the future. Thank you.
Thank you, bro. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from Sonal Gupta from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sorry, just dwelling on the same question. So, like you mentioned a couple of times on the call, the scooter market has not been doing well. Any thoughts around that? I mean, especially in the light of the fact that you said that urban and rural are not really very different in terms of demand trends. So, could you just throw some light on what's happening in the scooter side?
See, I think we've partly explained this in the last quarter earnings call as well. There are multiple things that seem to be, you know, happening. One is the base on scooters in the quarter one last year was very high because of the initial fill opportunity post the BS4, BS3 conversions. So therefore, you know, the growth there was slightly muted. But that has continued to be on a bit of a sort of a downturn, I would say. And I think perhaps there could be multiple reasons. We are also trying to grapple with that. And, you know, couple of things that seem to be indicated from data points is there has been a significant, you know, over the last 3 years, there has been a very high level of multiple ownership within households that has gone up, you know, incredibly over the last 3 years. Perhaps that is flattening out, and therefore that is not helping the scooter growth, because a scooter, in a lot of cases, almost about a quarter of scooter growth was actually determined by, you know, multiple ownership in households. So perhaps if that kind of is flattening out, it's impacting a significant amount of, so it's creating a significant amount. The other thing that seems to be happening is a lot of action around the 125cc, so which is the segment which is growing very fast. We mentioned this last time around that it took almost about 15 years for
or maybe close to 20 years for the motorcycles, in case of motorcycles, to move to a 20% or thereabout contribution from the 125cc, while as in scooters is taken less than 10. So a lot of action around probably power and stuff like that. Maybe the current scooters, customers are not as excited. They probably are seeking a little more sales. So maybe that movement is happening. Maybe multiple ownerships is kind of holding it back. So hopefully we'll watch it a little more carefully. We are not concluding that the scooters are completely out and done and out, but we'll have to watch this a little more closely over the next quarter or so to be able to have a very clear fix on what exactly is going in with the scooter industry.
Yeah, thanks. That's very interesting. Just on the other, I mean, just on the motorcycle side also, I mean, like, if I look at the broader trend in the industry on the 100-110cc, really the demand seems to be moving more towards the entry-level motorcycles. I mean, not just this year because of the discounting and stuff, but even if you look at like a 5-6 year trend. And the executive or the deluxe, as you call it, has actually been shrinking. Of course, you've not lost volumes, but other players have. So, I mean, are we seeing, that people are just sort of down-trading in terms of, or how do you see the 100cc as a segment itself has been shrinking overall in the longer term? So, I mean, in terms of how do you see the trend going forward on a medium-term basis, and what does have implications in terms of your margin profile given if entry becomes bigger and bigger?
I think it's very simple. There's a pull and push story works here as well. A lot of consumers who were migrating to scooters, the multiple ownership guys, were probably picking from deluxe segment. I would assume one clear check for you would be that over the next quarter or so, if there is an improvement in the deluxe contribution within motorcycles, you could clearly conclude that scooter people are holding back and coming back to deluxe motorcycles. As far as entry is concerned, there's a lot of opportunity out there. There's a whole ocean of people who really want to come into motorcycles, and that first stop probably would be the entry-level bikes, and therefore entry segment will continue to grow because of penetration. I've already answered that earlier in a very different context, because there is opportunity from a penetration point of view, and the first opportunity obviously goes to the entry-level bike.
And also, if you look at the the growth, entry and all that growth, I mean, if you look at even full year 18 growth, executive grew by in double digits, 10% plus. Premium also grew 10%. Yes, first off, if you see entry has grown faster, and that's also on the back of some of the, discounting, the rapid end. But if you look at a sustaining trend, and we mentioned about it, it's a story of many years. So you have on the entry, bottom of pyramid, people lapping off probably the lower price bikes getting there. Then you have another middle class, which is the entire belly, which actually wants to go for a better motorcycle, even as their first motorcycle. And of course, we have a great part of it, so that's why that's growing. And the premium is more an urban stuff, where aspirational youth, etc., which is driving. So I think it's a story of many Indias playing out. And we don't necessarily see one segment getting cannibalized by another segment. So we don't see that happen.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. That's very insightful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Jamshed Dadaboy from Citibank. Please go ahead.
Yes, so just one housekeeping question. What was your spares revenue for the first half, please?
The spares revenue for the quarter one was 602 crores and quarter two was 713 crores. So 1315 crores, yeah.
Sorry, first quarter was 602?
602, yeah.
Okay, thanks, sir. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Sir, you mentioned that the financing is around 36-37% as a whole. But how would that split between, say, rural and urban? Will the financing will be higher in urban areas than rural?
Financing is higher than urban areas higher than the rural. Because you have to see that financing available to the white collar people. And that's why urban financing will always be higher.
Yeah, in urban markets, the financing is as high as 55-60%. While in rural markets, it's much lower.
But just to add on to that is actually another big opportunity as far as two-wheeler industry is concerned moving forward in the medium term. Because the low level, current low level of rural financing is not going to remain low. All it means is a lot of demand is actually not getting justified because of low level of financing. And that would change. That would change with finance inclusion. That would change with finance penetration. That would change with all the smartphone penetration, the bank account, all the sort of stuff, the credit inclusion, the digitalization of that. So over a medium term, if you look at the next 3 years odd, then one can see actually this finance penetration zero increasing. And that again be a big flip to the demand.
Okay, but because of this increased rate of interest, you mentioned almost 4,000 rupees for entry segment. Wouldn't that impact rural demand for there, really cash as of now, larger portion is cash. So will not that impact demand over the near term, at least for next 4, 5, 6 months, maybe after that, maybe this, you start seeing increase in the financing?
So actually, if you see the part of finance versus non-finance, all that is combined effect, which is what you see as of now. And we see, as we explained, it's just been a bit of confusion around this. Yes, there's an impact on the showroom price. Yes, that's why probably the first few days of the festive has been kind of a flash. But we also see now over the last couple of customers walking in. So actually we see that, you know, festive is big. The rest of the stuff, because it's not just about an expenditure on a particular going out. It's about, do they have enough income and the money in their wallet to actually spend. The story comes from there. And that is intact, whether it's MSP, whether it's economic growth, etc., etc. So when you have the money in the wallet, that's a big thing. That's the most important thing. And thereafter, there's a decision to buy. Yes, initially a bit of confusion around insurance. Now people are walking in. So we still see, as long as people have income part of the story is intact, then the demand will keep growing. Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gunjan Priyasani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. I just had two follow-ups. Firstly, on the financing penetration, which you touched upon, are you seeing some new players, in the sense banks, coming back to the segment? Because there was, in general, a big withdrawal in 2009-10, and then you've seen the captive NBFCs. Are you seeing the profile change and you're seeing banks more receptive to it and, you know, look at this segment more seriously now?
Yeah, I had a conversation with a few of the banks on this, and you are right. I mean, they are more receptive towards this. I think they're increasingly seeing the opportunity space of the consumer financing. So far, the big banks have relied on corporate financing, and the consumer financing has gone to NBFCs. And increasingly, you can see that the banks are looking at this segment as a business moving forward. And as banks come in and as they can spread their scale, probably even the interest rate in future may drop the cost of financing that happens today in the rural area. So that's not for short term, but I would say that if you were to ask for a 3 to 5 year outlook, yeah, I would say that I could see banks coming in, I could see the cost of financing coming down, and I could see the penetration increasing. Will it happen in the next 3 to 6 months? Maybe not. But medium term, certainly yes.
And Gunjan, I think, again, a very good question, really, because I think from the context of what actually is happening in terms of finance footprint, I think it's not just a case of more people in bigger towns buying more bikes or two-wheelers or four-wheelers on finance. It's also about the deeper penetration that finance companies, the footprints, or as they call the geo limits for each of these towns is expanding rapidly. Which tells you one thing, that the confidence of finance companies in terms of securing their funding is increasing rapidly. The financial environment overall in the country is improving dramatically. It might sound surprising given the recent context of how corporates have not done well in terms of their own behavior and repayment of dues. But consumers are clearly, at least the two-wheeler consumers have really given the confidence to a lot of financiers. So we see a lot of NBFCs, we see a lot of cooperative banks, we see a lot of Ilakai Dehati banks, which is basically the rural, regional rural banks, RRBs, coming out in the open, improving the footprints, increasing the geo limits. So therefore, a lot of consumer confidence is increasing, like Niranjan mentioned a short while ago. That's another reason why we feel that the overall long-term view of two-wheeler demand is looking pretty good. because the moment financing improves and increases, it's going to only bring in better, more customers to the port.
And if I were to just quote a report of, I think it's a PwC report, the Future of India report, where if you see, the finance access of the consumers overall, not talking to dealers, is 35% today, which is projected to grow to almost 90% in the next 10 years. So there you are in terms of there is enough opportunity as far as the financing is concerned, and we are sure at some point of time it's going to take off.
Thank you. Next question is from Nishant Vass from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, sorry for again asking the question on festive, just because it's quite unique because the cost change has happened on insurance and there was a disruption. Sir, trying my luck, could you give a breakup between, say, what you generally traditionally see the sales in festive during the Navratra period and, say, between the Diwali and the Dhanteras period historically? And I'm coming from this fact that even if, say, we've probably lost a few days initially on Navratras, is it possible the consumer kind of shifts his demand cycle to, say, Dhanteras and Diwali and the overall volume growth comes back to, as you are highlighting, 8 to 10%? Please, your views on the same.
Yeah, that's a nice try, Nishant, I must say. But you know what? I think we'll just go with what we mentioned to you a short while ago. These are early days, extremely early days, and this is not something that's happened for the first time. It keeps happening cyclically every 2 to 3 years. Sometimes the share of does a significant job, and then Diwali is not as strong. Sometimes the start can be lukewarm or flattish, like I mentioned, and then there is a takeoff subsequently. So all these things even themselves out, because, you know, it's like this. You and I decide to buy something during a certain period, and I may not buy it on a Monday, or I may not want to buy it on a Wednesday. I might decide that I'll buy it 2 weeks later because there's something else that has come up. So I guess so long as the mood and the overall larger macroeconomic factors are in place, there is a bit of dampening. We admitted to that. The fact remains that there has been a major setback on account of the insurance play in the month of September. Now it's kind of eased up. But, you know, there's been a month since that thing happened. And I think Niranjan mentioned earlier, it's not only that increase in the insurance which happened in the month of September on 1st September. It's also the confusion created, I'm not going to comment on that, but there was a huge confusion on 5 years versus eventually we had to fight it out and get down to 1 year. So that confusion has led to a little bit of customer unease, I would say, which is kind of now easing out itself. We've seen some serious improvement over the last 2-3 days. So without really, you know, sharing the number, which may not be also, you know, right to do, we do expect that there is going to be a significant improvement from the way things are now. To how they will turn out to be at the end of the season.
Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My question pertains to the 125cc scooter launch. So you're indicating we'll be launching around 1st week of November. Is that correct?
No, I think what I mentioned is we may start off with one market right now because, you know, what happens in this festive time, we don't want to really risk the fact that we supply quantities and they are thin quantities and people really want it across and then we're not able to satisfy those customers. We'll be disappointed. Dealers will be, you know, enraged. We'll be disappointed. We'd rather go and, you know, try and fill up a market because the ramp up takes time. So, and we would accordingly fill up the market in a pipeline of one particular cluster of market, and then over a period of 15, 20 days, open up into other markets and then go with the bank. So that's how the plan is right now. We are starting off with one cluster and fill that up adequately so that they are able to cater to all the festive demand for that scooter and then open up rest of the country at one shot.
Okay, and that will happen from coming Monday?
This would happen between Monday, Tuesday the coming Monday, Tuesday. We could start off with one market and then subsequently roll it out to the rest of the country over the next 3 weeks.
Okay, okay. And the second 125cc scooter would be around Jensen?
That would be maybe about a month later or something like that. It's really up to us. It's ready. But, you know, to be very honest, we don't want to really complicate the thing because, you know, then we'll not be able to give adequate time, adequate build-up, adequate communication firepower to one model. I think it would need
in place as well.
We seem to have lost the line for the management. I now hand the conference over to Nishant Vash for closing comments.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for attending this conference call. That will be the end of the call due to the management being dropped out. Thank you for everyone for joining today.
Thank you very much. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.